Good evening and welcome to Late Night Live with Pastor Al. Got a Bible question? Wondering what to make of current events? Call now, toll free at 888-677-9673. That's 888-677-9673. Now, open your Bibles, open your minds, and join the conversation with your Late Night Live host, Pastor Al Davis.
Well, good evening. Welcome to another edition of Late Night Live with Pastor Al. I'm your host, Pastor Al Davis. I'll be with you until midnight tonight. And, well, it's good to be on the air with you tonight. It's been a busy day today, and we're kind of excited to have the opportunity to be here. And we're going to open our program with a word of prayer. And pray for us. We are our continuing saga of trying to get an audio feed into the computer. I can pull the plug on our little black box that we're using right here tonight, our new improved black box, but we're still trying to figure out a way that we can get what I hear through the phone, earphones, to go out on the Facebook live broadcast. So bear with us there. If you're listening online normally or you're listening on the air, you shouldn't have any problems. It's just for our Facebook live people. We're trying to get that straightened out for them. So continuing ongoing process here. We're trying to improve things. But at any rate, let's go ahead and open our program tonight with a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, Lord, I want to thank you again for the opportunity to be on the air tonight. We thank you for giving us an opportunity to be able to have this venue, this medium to reach out. And we pray that we could be a blessing, that we could be an encouragement to somebody tonight. And we just pray that you'd use the program tonight for your glory. Help us to point people to Christ. Help us encourage Christians in their walk with you. And we just thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. All right. Well, good to be with you tonight. And of course, let me remind you, you can check us out online at livewithpastoral.com. That's livewithpastoral.com. And of course, I'm your host, Pastor Al Davis, pastor of the Bible Baptist Church in Richfield, Ohio. And if you're in northeastern Ohio, we'd love to give you an opportunity or an invitation, I should say, to visit us at the Bible Baptist Church in Richfield, Ohio. We'll have information on the church at the bottom of the hour, but we meet at the Richfield Holiday Inn Express located at 5171 Brecksville Road in Richfield. That's northern Summit County, midway between Akron and Cleveland, right where Interstate 80, that's the Ohio Turnpike, and Interstate 77 Cross. We meet in the meeting room there, and been meeting there for a little while. We went there on a temporary basis, and we've been there for a while since. And it's been convenient. It's been helpful for us. And I just wanted to remind you that in two weeks is our church anniversary service. And I'd like to extend an invitation if you want to come and visit us on the 17th of September. That's 2 weeks from today. We have our church anniversary service. And some of you know Brother Eric Howitt, excellent singer, loves the Lord, and really lifts up the Lord in his singing. And he will be with us on Sunday, September 17th. He'll be with us during our morning service at 11 o'clock. And then we're having a potluck dinner at about 1 o'clock following the morning service. We'll move over into the larger room there at the Holiday Inn Express there in Richfield, Ohio, and we'll have a dinner in there. And even if you can't come to our morning service, you're at your own church. We have some people from other churches that always stop by and join us and fellowship with us during that time. And then at 2 o'clock or thereabouts, when everybody's ready, Eric Howitt will be providing a free gospel music concert. And it'll be right there at the Richfield Holiday Inn Express, 5171 Brecksville Road in Richfield, Ohio. And even if you can't make it for the dinner and you want to come for the music at 2 o'clock, let me invite you to come out. Mark your calendar, September 17th, and that's at 2 o'clock. Eric Howitt will be singing for us. And you can find him online. And I'll see if I hadn't been messing with my headphones earlier on, I probably would have gotten his things together and hopefully got him on his website here earlier and gotten that together. And let's see, we got some feedback on Facebook Live that we can be heard, but we're very quiet. Well, if you're watching on Facebook, we're very quiet. We've come to the determination because our black box is not letting us be any louder. Everything that we have here is turned up as loud as it can go. So the only thing that we can't turn up is this. If you're following our continuing saga, a few weeks ago, we had a large cardboard box, and our Facebook Live viewers can see what I'm holding up. We had a large cardboard box that was taped up with tape, we're trying to get this. We have a guy at our church who's working on it, and he is trying to get it set to where we can hopefully carry what's being heard through the headsets. Now, normally speaking, and I'm actually going to do this right at the moment. Let me see here. I'm going to pull a pin out right here because we don't have any callers right at the moment. Haven't given out the numbers. There we go. What I just did for our Facebook Live viewers, I pulled out the feed, and you're hearing me as the mic on my laptop computer picks me up. And that's somewhere, hopefully. Well, maybe you're not hearing me. I'll put that pin back in. We're still figuring this out. See, I'm not a tech guy. I try to do things using stuff that people give me. And unfortunately, we put that back in there. So hopefully we're back on where people can hear us a little bit. I'm getting a negative from the other room. We may, go ahead and restart our Facebook Live. And I think the reason you're not hearing me, I just realized Facebook Live froze up. Oh, it started again. So maybe you'll hear us again. I apologize to our listeners that aren't on Facebook Live. We're trying to get this set so we can reach more people and make their listening a little bit better on. But, well, let me mention to you again, of course, our telephone lines tonight. You can call us toll free at 888-677-9673. That's 888-677-9673. And we'll get you on the program here tonight. And we'll go ahead and restart that to Facebook Live and hopefully get that sounding a little bit better. You've got a question about the Bible or current events in light of God's Word, you can give us a call, 888-677-9673, and we'll get you on the air here this evening. Also, a reminder, too, as I said, check us out on our webpage, livewithpastoral.com. That's livewithpastoral.com, and that will link to our Facebook page. That'll link to our church webpage and a bunch of other information. You can also listen to past programs all on our website there at livewithpastoral.com. And I want a reminder, too, that today is the day that President Trump set aside as a national day of prayer for the victims of Hurricane Harvey. And we're still a little bit left in the day yet. And so let me encourage you to pray for the victims there. I got word that the some of the relief trucks from Nehemiah's Network out from Columbia Road Baptist Church in North Olmsted, Ohio, they sent a couple of trucks on the road earlier this week loaded with relief supplies. We had Pastor Jenkins on with us last week, and we got some information about him. And let me get it here. It's in that bag right here. There we go. And just wanted to mention that Nehemiah's Network, you can go online you can get them here. They've got a couple of different websites. The one on the letter that I'm looking right here is crbc-online.org. That's crbc-online.org. I think you can also find them at columbiaroad.org. For Columbia Road Baptist Church. If you have any trouble at all, do Google them. Just Google Columbia Road Baptist Church, Nehemiah's Network, and you will find out information and what you can do if you want to get involved, if you would like to help out and try to certainly pray for them, and also if you would like to try to send some supplies or something. They always have a need for personal hygiene items, diapers, baby formula, I'm sure, is probably something they need, different things like that, and bottled water and things. And of course, money is always usable. Certainly, it costs money to run the trucks down to Texas from Northeast Ohio, and also other places that they have gone into. And they try to stock up materials in advance as well. And you can call the church at 440-777-7539. That's 440-777-7539. That's Columbia Road Baptist Church. And you can ask them how you can get involved with helping out with disaster relief efforts through the Nehemiah's Network. Something to be aware of, Hurricane Irma has strengthened back up to a Category 3 storm in the Atlantic, and it's churning towards, I believe, Puerto Rico. And probably the size of the storm and all, Puerto Rico is at least going to get a glancing blow. And we don't know. It's too early to tell exactly where it's going. But the potential for impacting the eastern coast of the United States, say from Florida up through the Carolinas, is there. And it could curve out and go up into the North Atlantic and leave us relatively untouched. Or it could curve and come ashore directly there in the southeastern coastline of the United States. So pray for them and pray for various organizations and relief efforts such as Nehemiah's Network, because they try to have materials on hand so that when something does occur, that they can use that. They can use that to be ready at a moment's notice to be able to do things and to go into places. They've gone in, of course, where there's been other disasters, tornado outbreaks in Oklahoma and in Missouri and different places. They've gone into flooding in West Virginia at places. The fires last year down in Tennessee and places like that. And so pray for them and the work that they're doing there. And let's see. I don't know that our Facebook Live is going tonight, so we may not worry about that, I think, from this point on. But at any rate, pray for Nehemiah's Network and the work that they're doing. What I like about them, not only is it based out of a local church, and I really do think that ministries should be, whenever possible, based out of the local church. And I get that from Acts chapter 13, and I'm going to turn over there. But not only are they based out of the local church, they partner with churches in the affected areas. They go into those areas and they come alongside of those churches. Many of the people in those churches are experiencing difficulties themselves, experiencing the effects of the storms or whatever the disaster is. And in many cases, their houses, the people in the church itself building has been damaged. And so Nehemiah's Network is able to partner with them, provide them with relief supplies that they in turn can distribute to people in their area. So it allows the church to be used as, of God, reaching the needs, the physical needs of people, and at the same time ministering to their spiritual needs. And so I like this. Acts chapter 13 says, starting in verse number 1, it says, "Now there were in the church that was at Antioch certain prophets and teachers, as Barnabas and Simeon that was called Niger, and Lucius of Cyrene, and Manaen, which had been brought up with Herod the Tetrarch, and Saul. As they ministered to the Lord and fasted, the Holy Ghost said, Separate me, Barnabas and Saul, for the work whereunto I have called them. And when they had fasted and prayed and laid their hands on them, they sent them away. So they, being sent forth by the Holy Ghost, departed unto Seleucia, and from thence they sailed to Cyprus." Now, if you notice what's going on here in this, this gives us a good template for ministries based out of the local church. And we see a church here in Antioch. This is in Syria. And in this church, there was a number of people there that were working, serving God, ministering. It says certain prophets and teachers, and it names a number of them: Barnabas, Simeon, who was called Niger. Also Lucius of Cyrene, and we also had Menaean, which had been brought up with Herod the Tetrarch, and Saul. Now, Saul here, of course, is the Apostle Paul. And as these men are laboring in this church, they're ministering there. We have a church that's serving God, doing things for the Lord. And as they're ministering to the Lord, the Bible says, as they ministered to the Lord and fasted, the Holy Ghost said, "Separate me, Barnabas and Saul, for the work whereunto I have called them." And here's what happened. God had a special job that needed to be done. You ever hear the expression, when you need something done, give the job to a busy man, because he'll find a way to get it done. And there's a lot of truth to that. When God is looking to do something, I believe if he's going to do it through a local church, he's going to find a church that's doing things. And see, this is a body of believers. It says, remember, this is the church that was at Antioch. This is not a denominational headquarters. This is not a building. This is a group of believers. These are people who loved God. These are people who had put their faith in Jesus Christ as their personal Lord and Savior. And these were people who had a desire to do the work that God gave them to do. And so as they're ministering here in Antioch, in this local area, the Lord speaks to them, and he tells the church that he has a job, a special work for Barnabas and Saul. He said, "Separate me, Barnabas and Saul, for the work whereunto I've called them." That tells me something else as well. He'd also spoken to Barnabas and Saul. And you know, that's an amazing thing when we think about it. When God is calling people into the ministry, you know what's amazing? And I've seen this myself. God will speak not only to the heart of the person that he's calling, but he'll often speak to the people in the church. And as God is working with one person, and that person is being dealt with by the Lord, and then surrenders to the Lord's call on their life. Now, we're not talking about salvation here. We're talking about service. And as that person surrenders to serve God in some particular capacity, whether it be surrendering to the full-time ministry, surrendering to some particular ministry within the church, perhaps, whatever it might be, when that person surrenders to the ministry, I remember when I was stationed in England in the Air Force, and I was involved in a missions work outside of our base called Chick Sands Baptist Church, and I rededicated my life to the Lord while I was there, and God started dealing with my heart about the full-time ministry. And I wasn't sure, I didn't think that's what I should be doing, and quite frankly, it probably was more I didn't want to do it. It wasn't what I wanted to do. And God was dealing with my heart about it. And when the day came that I finally surrendered to full-time ministry, it was really amazing, because several other people in the church all told me afterwards, "Well, we knew God was dealing with your heart about that. We were just waiting for you to realize it." And that was an amazing thing. It sounds weird, but it was true. And I remember afterwards, there were some other people in the church that God had dealt with about full-time ministry. And the amazing thing was, I was in that group that when that person finally surrendered, was able to say, "Well, you know, we were just waiting for you to realize what God had already told us. We knew God was dealing with you about that. We were just waiting for you to surrender to that." And so God not only calls people into his service, but he confirms it in the heart of the people in the local church. And I think that's an amazing thing. If you're out there tonight, and by the way, I just want to say we had a really good time of fellowship tonight. We had missionary Larry Curtis. He's a missionary who's been in England since 1988. In fact, he arrived in England the year after I left England. I was stationed in England from 1984 to 1987. And in 1988, Brother Curtis arrived in England. Now, he had been there also in the Air Force previously, prior to me. He was there in the 70s. I was there from, like I said, 84 to 87. And He came back. God dealt with him about being a missionary in England. And so he went back, wound up in Birmingham, England, and he was preaching for us tonight. And a great message. We had a great time fellowship, and really enjoyed that this evening. And he said there's two things that God wants from you in your life. And one of them, he said, was if you're not saved, he wants you to get saved. That's the number one thing. Then when you are saved, basically it boils down to he wants your service, you know, and that's what it boils down to. And that's what we're looking at here. God wants our service. You know, God could do things without us. God could spread the gospel without you or I. God could send an angel to spread the gospel, but he chose to use us. It pleased God, the Bible says, to use men. And it's through the foolishness of preaching, the Bible says, that God chooses to spread the word of God. In Acts chapter 1 verse 8, Jesus told them to go into all the world and preach the gospel. He said, go into Jerusalem and Judea and Samaria and the uttermost part of the earth. And they were to preach the gospel. They were to testify of Christ. And we see that there at the end of Matthew chapter 28. And also, just throughout the gospels. I won't go through it all right at the moment. But basically, we're going to all the world and preach the gospel. But we have different avenues. Sometimes the area where you're called to serve is right where you're at right now, amongst the people that you work with, or perhaps if you're in school, perhaps the people that you go to school with, whether it's a grade school, high school, college, trade school, whatever it might be. That might be your field to be a witness for the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, obviously, when you're in school and the teacher is teaching, that's not the time to stand up in the middle of the class and say, ye must be born again. No, that's not the time. But when you're between classes, a lot of young people are in school right now, and you say, well, aren't they all sleeping? Well, I know when I was in high school, when I was in college, I wasn't in bed at this time on a Sunday night sleeping. And so if you're listening tonight and you're in high school, you're in junior high, you're in college, trade school, whatever it might be, and you're going off to school tomorrow, you have an opportunity to be a witness for the Lord Jesus Christ. You know, during the time your breaks between classes, the time when you're waiting for class to start, maybe when you're outside waiting for the bus or something, God can give you opportunities where you can be a testimony for him. You can tell people about what Christ has done for you. And you can reach people there that I cannot reach. You can reach people there that your pastor cannot reach. You can reach people there that your parents cannot reach. And likewise, maybe it's, you're just after school, playing ball or hanging out with friends. You have an opportunity to be a witness in places that I can't, that your pastor can't, that your parents can't. And likewise, if you're working, now I know tomorrow's Labor Day. That makes me think, I guess, since it's Labor Day, just for realize that. People wouldn't be necessarily having to get up for school tomorrow because it's Labor Day. Most schools are off. But you know what I mean when you do go to school here in the coming week. But also if you're going to work, you know, there are people that you can reach that I can't reach, that your pastor can't reach. There's people that only you can reach. You know, you're going to be the most effective person to reach somebody where you work. Now, obviously, you don't want to be doing that in the middle of your work when your boss is paying you to do certain things. And if you're working on an assembly line, you don't want to say, stop the line, I got something to say. Now, that's not going to get you very far getting a good reception with the gospel message. But God will give you places that you can be a witness, that you can be a testimony for him. And Paul and Barnabas were doing that. They were working for the Lord. They were a witness. They were a testimony for him here in this church in Antioch. And as they served God, God decided that he wanted them to go on a special missions trip and that he was going to take them off to a variety of locations that other people in the church there at Antioch were not going to be able to reach. They just weren't going to be able to do it. And so as they ministered to the Lord and fasted here in Acts chapter 13, verse 2. It says, the Holy Ghost said, separate me, Barnabas and Saul, for the work whereunto I've called them. And when they had fasted and prayed, that's the church, and laid their hands on them, that's the church, they, that's the church, sent them, that's Paul and Barnabas, away. So the church got behind them. They recognized God's call upon their life. Just like when I surrendered to full-time Christian service, the people in the church there in Chicksands Baptist Church, just outside of RAF Chicksands in Bedfordshire, England, they recognized that God was placing a call upon my life. And they followed the Lord's leading, and they endorsed and they helped equip me so that I could do that. And that's the role of the local church. To get behind these people. They fasted and they prayed. That shows that they wanted to make sure, is God really in this? Is this really what God wants them to do? And if that's the case, we want God's power on them. And we should pray for people that go out from our church. They laid hands on them. They commissioned them. They gave them the authority of their local church to go out and preach the gospel and carry out the functions of the gospel ministry. And that's what happened when I was ordained into the gospel ministry. And the church laid hands on me and prayed over me, and then they sent them away. Well, they were sent out on this mission's journey. Now, sending them away in this case is because God called them to go out into the uttermost parts of the earth, and immediately they departed, sent forth by the Holy Ghost. They departed unto Seleucia, and from thence they sailed to Cyprus. They left Syria. They sailed off into the Mediterranean to the island of Cyprus. They went to Salamis. And then as you read through Acts chapter 13, chapter 14, you see them traveling to different places, preaching the gospel. Now there's opposition. The devil raises up and they preach the gospel. And eventually, when they finished, they came back. And at the end of chapter 14, verse 27, they gave a report. Well, stay tuned. I'm your Late Night Live host, Pastor Al Davis, pastor of the Bible Baptist Church in Richfield, Ohio. I want to invite you to visit us at the Bible Baptist Church in Richfield. The Bible Baptist Church meets at the Richfield Holiday Inn Express, located midway between Akron and Cleveland at 5171 Rexville Road in Richfield, where the Ohio Turnpike, Interstate 80, and Interstate 77 cross. The Bible Baptist Church meets at the Richfield Holiday Inn Express each Sunday morning for Bible study at 10 a.m., morning worship at 11 a.m., and evening worship at 6 p.m. The Bible Baptist Church also meets at the Richfield Holiday Inn Express each Friday night at 7 p.m. for an informal Bible study where you get to bring the questions, just like on Late Night Live with Pastor Al. Even if we don't see you at the Bible Baptist Church in Richfield, we want to see you in heaven. Jesus says in the Bible, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. Why? Well, because the Bible says, there is none righteous, no, not one. We are all as an unclean thing, and all our righteousnesses are as filthy rags. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. The Bible also says, wherefore, as by one man sin entered into the world, and death by sin, and so death passed upon all men, for that all have sinned. For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. For when we were yet without strength, in due time, Christ died for the ungodly. But God commendeth his love toward us, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Much more then, being now justified by his blood, we shall be saved from wrath through him. And so the Bible says that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. For the scripture saith, whosoever believeth on him shall not be ashamed. Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. I like that. Whosoever, that means you. If this show has been a blessing to you, why not let us know? You can contact us by writing Pastor Al Davis, Post Office Box 452, Richfield, Ohio 44286. Our email address is pastoral@maplenoll.us. You can also visit our website at livewithpastoral.com. That's livewithpastoral.com. Or you can call us at 330 859-6561. We'd love to hear from you, but now let's get back to our program. Well, welcome back. You're listening to Late Night Live with Pastor Al. I'm your host, Pastor Al Davis. I'll be with you until midnight tonight, and I hope you'll be able to stick with us here this evening. And just a reminder, we're brought to you tonight by the Richfield Bible Baptist Church, located in Richfield, Ohio. And we're also brought to you tonight by the East Coast Baptist, or East Coast Baptist Pizza Shop, right? No. That's the East Coast Pizza. East Coast Pizza. I'll get it yet here. I should know. I eat there enough. East Coast Pizza in Garfield Heights. I'll get that spit out just yet. East Coast Pizza in Garfield Heights. So you can find them at 4889 Turney Road, right across the street from the Garfield Heights High School. You can call East Coast Pizza for pickup or delivery at 216-341-9100. That's 216-341-9100. And if you mention Live with Pastor Al, you can get a medium one-topping pizza for just $5. That's East Coast Pizza, 216-341-9100. Also, we mentioned them because even if you're not in the immediate area here and you would perhaps like to start your own pizza business, maybe you've got a restaurant, you need a great pizza recipe, and you'd like to add pizza to your restaurant, you can do that tonight as well by contacting East Coast Pizza at 216-341-9100. That's 216-341-9100. If you mention Live with Pastor Al, you can get a medium one-topping pizza for just $5. And just let them know that I think I confused my line there, didn't I? If you want to add the pizza to your restaurant, that's what I'm trying to say here today. It's late, folks. I'm sorry. You can ask for Gus, and he can help you get started on your own pizza shop for a lot less than what you might think. Yes, you can get a pizza if you mention Live with Pastor Al for $5, a medium one-topping pizza. But that's East Coast Pizza at 216-341-9100 for pickup or delivery, located across the street from the Garfield Heights High School at 4889 Turney Road in Garfield Heights. Well, we're going to try and get back to our program here, and we went back with just the laptop computer microphone for Facebook Live, and whatever sound we can get there, I think we're going to go with tonight rather than trying with our fancy black box. So if you've got a question about the Bible or current events in light of God's Word, you can give us a call tonight, 888-677-9673. That's 888-677-9673. We'd love to hear from you tonight. We'd love to get you on the program here this evening with your questions about the Bible or current events in light of God's Word, talking in the last half hour about the Nehemiah's Network and their materials that just went out this past week. Two truckloads of disaster relief materials heading out to Texas, and I think they're also going to stop in parts of Louisiana that have been impacted by Hurricane Harvey. So pray for them as they go out, and like I said, you can check them out. Just go online. Probably the easiest way to do it. Go online. Google Columbia Road Baptist Church. That's Columbia Road Baptist Church and Nehemiah's Network. And you can find out more information there about what they're doing and how you can be a part of that. You can always call the church there at 440-777-7539. That's 440-777-7539, Columbia Road Baptist Church, the Nehemiah's Network Disaster Relief Ministry there. All right, a couple other things I want to mention, too, again. Since it is the National Day of Prayer, President Trump called for National Day of Prayer for the victims of Hurricane Harvey. We prayed a little bit, of course, at the start of the last segment, but I just wanted to have a word of prayer here at the start of this segment, and so that we can do that here as we're coming close. You know, we're within less than a half an hour of the end of the day, and it's not often that we get a president that is willing to declare a national day of prayer for anything, and I think this is certainly a worthwhile thing to pray for. So let's go ahead and if you're able to where you're at right now to pray with us, let's just have a word of prayer for the National Day of Prayer for the victims of Hurricane Harvey. Heavenly Father, Lord, we want to thank you again for the opportunity that we can come together as believers, as a nation. We can come together as and lift up these people that are struggling. We see the pictures on TV. We see, hear the stories of the people impacted. And though the loss of life may seem relatively low or relatively small, for those who have lost loved ones, those who've lost family members, those who've lost friends, it's a huge impact to lose someone that you care for. And even for those that have not lost family members, many people have lost possessions, they've lost pets, they've lost things that mean much to them, and their impact in tremendous ways. They, well, the things don't matter that much. They have their lives, but yes, they've lost their homes. That many people are homeless and they're staying in relief centers where they've been evacuated to. And so, Lord, we just pray that you would strengthen and encourage them. And again, Lord, we just ask that you would bless those believers that are in these areas where they have positions to be a help, to be an encouragement to people. We pray not only would you encourage the believers and strengthen them, help them to find comfort through you. The Bible says you're the God of all comfort. And as we take comfort from you, Lord, we do pray that you would help believers then in turn to comfort others as you've comforted them. Pray that you would raise up people who would have a burden and have the means and opportunities to help people and to provide for their needs. We do pray that if there's some that are still waiting for help, waiting for a rescue, that you would direct people who are searching for them to their areas, that they might be able to find them and to be able to help them. We pray for those that are struggling, trying to find food and water, that you would help them find the relief centers and that people be able to find them that are providing food and water. And we pray for those that don't have a place to stay. Lord, just pray that you would just work and help provide places for them, at least on a temporary basis till they can get themselves back on their feet. But Lord, we do pray that you would help this country to come together, help Christians to come together to lift up our fellow countrymen that are struggling and suffering as a result of this hurricane. We know there's going to be other tragedies, other disasters that'll strike our country from time to time, and Lord, help us to pray for those as well. But Lord, we do pray again that you would just reach out to these victims of Hurricane Harvey, help them and help your people to be able to be a witness and testimony and a blessing and a help and a comfort during this time of need. We thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. All right. Well, I encourage you, continue to pray for these people. Just because today's a National Day of Prayer for the victims of Hurricane Harvey doesn't mean you can't pray for them every day. And as God lays them upon your heart, you can lift them up in prayer. Well, there's a lot of other things we can talk about too tonight. And again, been kind of a slow telephone night tonight, but if you want to give us a call, 888-677-9673, that's 888-677-9673. We can get you on the air here this evening with your question about the Bible or current events in light of God's Word. And I wanted to turn a little bit attention here to a different subject, something that I was wanting to touch on here. We've touched on this nonsense of transgenderism, and you know, this is something that it's just beyond me, the lunacy here. You know, they have the expression the lunatics are in charge of the asylum, and that's what we're beginning to see in this country. Thankfully, President Trump is trying to work through a ban on transgenders in the military, and there's good reason for that, because now think about it, and these people are going through their gender reassignment surgery and all this therapy and stuff that they're going through. They're not fit for duty during that time. They're recovering from surgeries, they're having all kinds of problems, and unfortunately, as a group, these people have tremendous struggles with suicidal tendencies, depression, and a host of other mental illnesses illnesses and even some physical ailments. And the military already restricts military service to quite a variety of people because the military is in the business of trying to have people who are physically and mentally fit to be able to defend our country using deadly force if necessary. And so I'm heartened that he's doing that, but that President Trump is working to overturn this nonsense of having transgenders serving in the United States military. Now, where you say, well, what do you know? You're not a veteran. Well, yes, I am. I am a veteran. I think it's bad for the morale and the esprit de corps for the people in the service. And no, I'm not a wartime veteran, but I served during the Cold War. But still, the fact of the matter is the military is not there as a social engineering experiment. It's there to protect our country. But here's something that heartened me along this subject here. The American College of Pediatrics. Now, this is not just a little fly-by-night organization. The American College of Pediatrics has reached a decision. And this is the statement that they issued this past week. They issued a statement condemning gender reclassification in children. And they went further. They stated that transgenderism or encouraging transgenderism in children amounts to child abuse. Now, think about this. This reflects the policy statement that John Hopkins Medical School psychology professor Paul McHugh had put out. He listed 8 arguments why gender reclassification is harmful. Now, keep in mind, this is John Hopkins Medical School psychology professor Paul McHugh. John Hopkins, they're the ones who, I believe, if I'm not mistaken, pioneered this gender reassignment surgery. And so he listed 8 arguments why gender reclassification is harmful. Now, before I get to that, let me just point out, the Bible says in the beginning God created Adam and Eve. Male and female created he them. We have male and female. And basically, you have the genetic trait. It's a binary genetic marker, either the XY chromosome or the XX chromosome. That's what you have. And if you have the XX chromosome, you are born female. If you have the XY chromosome, you're born male. Now, this is not a doctor assigning your gender. This is not your parents assigning your gender. This is not your school assigning your gender. This is not even you deciding your gender. This is a biological fact. You are either the XY chromosome or you're the double X, the XX chromosome. That's what you are when you're born. So these genetic markers, it's what you have. And that's one of the arguments why gender reclassification is harmful, because they can alter your physical appearance. They can give you drugs. They can give you hormone treatment to try and affect the expression of your genes. But that's all they're doing. They're trying to mask and hinder or somehow alter the expression of the genes that you were born with. Now, he says here also, no one is born with a gender. Everyone is born with a biological sex. Now, and that's true, male or female. And I'm just going to skim through this. A person's belief, number 3, a person's belief that he or she is something that they are not, is at best a sign of confused thinking. Do you catch what he's saying here? This is John Hopkins Medical School psychology professor Paul McHugh. And he said, at best, if you're confused about whether you're male or female, that's a sign of confused thinking. And when an otherwise healthy biological boy believes he's a girl, or an otherwise healthy biological girl believes she's a boy, an objective psychological problem exists that lies in the mind, not in the body, and it ought to be treated as such. See, as he said, you're not born with a gender, you're born with a biological sex. So this gender disorder is not a biological disorder. It is a mental disorder. You catch what he's saying here? It's a problem in the mind and not the body, and it should be treated as such. Well, his fourth argument here is that puberty is not a disease, and puberty-blocking hormones can be dangerous. And that's absolutely true. Reversible or not, puberty-blocking hormones induce a state of disease, the absence of puberty, and inhibit growth and fertility in a previously biologically healthy child. Now, think about this. You know, my wife is an RN, and as a medical professional, she had taken an oath. And doctors take an oath, the Hippocratic Oath. And medical people who take this oath, their responsibility is to not harm their patients. Their responsibility is to fight and do the best that they can to take care of the health of their patients. Now, this doctor here is saying something that any medical doctor can tell you, and really any medical professional that has any understanding of puberty can tell you that inhibiting puberty has detrimental effects on that child as they're growing. And so it causes problems, it causes harm to a previously biologically healthy child. Well, here's another argument here. According to the DSM-V, what is that? The DSM-V, I'm trying to think, I should know the initials of that. Let's see if my wife remembers what that is. If we get that here, I'll give you that. The standard manual for diagnosing various diseases. But as many as 98% of gender-confused boys and 88% of gender-confused girls eventually accept their biological sex after naturally passing through puberty. Now, think about that. How many people know, I mean, when my sister was the only one, the only girl in our family, okay? She had brothers. That's all she had was brothers. And she was somewhat of a tom girl in a sense when she was growing up, because she was running around with her brother, you know, playing with us all the time, climbing trees and running around in the barnyard and helping out in the barn, doing different things. She could have been accused of being a tomboy. But see, girls go through phases like that. Boys go through phases like that. But when puberty sets in, notice what he said here. As many as 98% of boys and 88% of girls who are confused of their gender, when they go through puberty naturally, they accept their biological sex. Now, what does that say for when you inhibit puberty and you take children who are young and have not yet hit puberty and you let them be convinced that they're really a girl or they're really a boy despite their biological sex? And that's a problem. And got a caller calling in I'm going to get to in just a moment. Let me touch this one here. Children who use puberty blockers to impersonate the opposite sex will require cross-sex hormones in late adolescence. Cross-sex hormones, testosterone and estrogen, are associated with dangerous health risks, including but not limited to high blood pressure, blood clots, stroke, and cancer. Remember, they're supposed to be helping and doing no harm. Rates of suicide are 20 times greater among adults who use cross-sex hormones and undergo sex reassignment surgery. Even in Sweden, which is among the most LGBTQ-affirming countries, it's still much greater, the suicide rate amongst people who undergo sex reassignment surgery and use cross-sex hormones. And finally, conditioning children into believing a lifetime of chemical and surgical impersonation of the opposite sex is normal and healthful. That's child abuse. And I agree with that. The medical professional is in agreement with what we as pastors and Christians have been saying all along. And we need to get this message out there. This is important. The devil is trying to destroy our children, and this is just one of the many ways. You're listening to Late Night Live with Pastor Al. Our phone number, 888-677-9673. We've got Tom calling in tonight. And, Tom, welcome to the program this evening.
Oh, hello, Pastor.
Hey, Tom. Good to hear from you tonight.
So biologically, what should we start calling them, XYZ?
You know, I some time ago, I put up a thing I put together on my Facebook page, and it was like a person deciding which bathroom should I go to. And instead of men or women on the doors, I put over one set of doors XX and over the other set XY. You know, there's no confusion with that, is there? Because it doesn't matter how you dress or what drugs you're taking. You're
if
still
it wasn't
either
that. Serious, it would be laughable.
Yeah, I know, and that's the problem.
Serious because, you know, here's the problem with the culture today. You know, everybody is culture crazed, I think, and here's the problem, I think, that we've got a whole generation of people that they can't even perceive it's wrong because they've never been taught really the idea, the conception of right and wrong, you know, in light of God's word.
Right.
And so when you try to even tell these people they're sinners, they kind of look at you puzzled, like, what do you mean?
Exactly. They do not want to accept God's word. They do not accept what God has said.
When I was a kid growing up, my mother, you know, she started teaching me, you know, right and wrong. My parents taught me what's right and wrong from when I was a little kid. And my mother was the one more so, but my dad too, but... You know, that said, hey, this is, you know, we live our lives according to what God says is right and what's wrong.
Absolutely. And you know, there has to be something objective, doesn't there?
Right.
And that objective thing has to be, should by all rights come from a superior source to us.
Right. So by the time I was like 5 or 6 years old, I was already forming through my parents, the principles that was being laid out according to God's word. That, you know, it's what does the Bible say, Pastor? It says we should train up our children in the way they should go. And God says that, you know, if we do it according to His word and feed them and nourish them with the word of God, just like we nourish our bodies with food, that we're not going to depart from those ways, are we?
Absolutely, absolutely. But you know, the devil wants to attack in every way that he can. We're talking about this transphobic, this idea of you know, changing from one sex to the other, and
right.
the idea of transgender. This is a corruption because in Genesis chapter 1, I alluded to it in verse 27. It says, "So God created man in His own image." We represent the image of God. And then it says, in the image of God created He him, male and female created He them.
You know,
and the devil's attacking this.
It is. But what's so hard, though, is, yeah, but, you know, the word of God, it doesn't come back void. So we have to give them the word of God. But here's the thing, though. It's like there are so many, I try to be a witness every time I go out, whether it's in the marketplace or, you know, whoever I encounter, I just pray. And if the Lord leads me to share the gospel, I share it. But, you know, and talking to some younger people, they really have no conception of what sin is.
Right. You know, when I was in school, and you probably remember this too, you were a couple of years ahead of me going through the, you were in the Revere system for a while at least, right?
Right,
And, you know, the relativism was coming in. I know we're coming up less than a minute in the program, but relativism was coming in even back in the 60s and 70s, the idea there's no real right or wrong.
Right.
And it's all what you think and what you want, and
well,
it gets us
right.
away
absolute,
from the Word of God.
Absolutes went in the rubbish.
Exactly. Hey, Tom, I'm running out of time here tonight. I want to thank you for calling, and I know we'll be talking again yet in the future. And I do want to thank everybody for listening tonight, and join us again next week. And I hope you have a great Labor Day tomorrow. God bless. Have a great week.
You've just listened to Late Night Live with Pastor Al. To learn more about Pastor Al Davis and Late Night Live with Pastor Al, visit our website at livewithpastoral.com. That's livewithpastoral.com. You can also like us on Facebook or listen to past programs at livewithpastoral.com. Pastor Al Davis is the pastor of the Bible Baptist Church in Richfield, Ohio. The Bible Baptist Church meets at the Richfield Holiday Inn Express at 5171 Rexville Road in Richfield every Sunday at 11 a.m. and 6 p.m. and every Friday night at 7. You can contact Pastor Al by writing to Pastor Al Davis at P.O. Box 452, Richfield, Ohio 44286. Or you can email Pastor Al at pastoral@maplenoel.us. Tune in every week for Late Night Live with Pastor Al, Sunday nights at 11 o'clock on this station. Late Night Live with Pastor Al is brought to you by the Bible Baptist Church in Richfield, Ohio.
The preceding program's views, claims, or representations may not reflect those of AM 1220 The Word or Salem Media Group.